We're back. And so, are you still there?
We are here.
Okay, very good. So, Sarah, pick it up from there. You're running for the appeals court, and we've had some good people on there. My good friend Matt Lynch is on there, and we had Diane Grindel sit on there.
He is the only conservative on that court, even though there's two Republicans there now. The other guy was appointed by Mike DeWine for Matt Lynch's open seat. That's my opponent, Eklund. We want to see him go and have a conservative on the bench. But we still have three other liberals. Even if I get the win in the primary, there is only the Republican primary. There's no Democrat that's filed. So May 3rd is going to decide whether you have another conservative come into that court or not.
All righty.
So thank you for giving me this opportunity to get my name out.
I have not heard a peep out of John Eklund as far as running. Is he even...
Well, I mean, he's never really had to run before. He was appointed to the state senate. And then he ran, you know, and won a seat again. And then now he's appointed to this judicial seat after his big amount of time spent in the Senate was doing things like HB 256 and a whole host of criminal legislation, which, quite frankly, he should have left to somebody with a criminal justice background, because he's a trademark attorney and patent attorney, and he had no clue of what he's doing, because if you even read the legislation, it's confusing. You don't know how you could test for some of the things that he has championed in the past, for example, regarding the mental health of individuals when they commit crimes. He considers serious mental disorders to be a factor in determining whether they're death eligible. How can you find out whether somebody was suffering from serious mental disease at the time of the offense? You can't test backwards. I don't want to go into specifics, but he just doesn't understand. He's never walked the beat, never been a prosecutor, never been a defense attorney. He doesn't understand the criminal justice system, but he was the one who was championing legislation. So then you get things like this, where a judge's sentence is now overturned and banned by the legislature. Now a parole board is going to be deciding, and poor Brian's children are going to be going to the parole board every 5 years to keep this monster in prison.
And the thing I don't understand, Pastor, is we have something called prohibition on ex post facto laws, and yet somehow our legislature in Ohio has created a time machine which enables them to go back in time and grant parole hearings to people who weren't given that chance. So it's really a sticky situation, and I don't think they counted on people like me to get upset. I think they just thought we would get letters in the mail saying, hey, you got a parole hearing coming up, and we would just be like sheeple and say, okay.
Well, you know, here's one of the problems, one of my biggest problem with this whole system, and that is, you know, you have the old law inmates and the new law inmates. And those under the new law, they got flat time. But those under the old law, for the same crimes, will end up doing two or three times as much time as those under the new law for the very same crimes, identical crimes. And what happens is, I know that the parole board only has in charge of those under the new law. But because once the old law are under the old law, once all of those guys are dead, and many of them are up there now, I know, because I've been going to the prisons for 50 years. And you have people there that it should have been, that have done way more than their time, way more than their time, that should have been out years ago, that were, say, involved in a crime but didn't directly commit the crime. And what happens is they're keeping them and they're warehousing them to keep the parole board in their cushy $70,000 a year jobs. And these guys should have been out. And I'm talking about, we have guys there that are 75, 80 years old.
Well, yeah, that's one thing I wanted to tell you about. When they're that age, I mean, the statistics show that, you know, 50, 60, 70-year-old people usually don't commit violent crimes, regardless, you know, of their history. It's actually the rise in crime is juveniles. It's 15, 16, 17. We see that in videos happening all over the country.
Exactly.
Right,
exactly.
So the statistics, the crime statistics, are not being used to really make educated decisions about what to legislate and how to legislate, in my opinion.
Well, you'd be exactly right. It's upside down, inside out, and backwards.
Well, maybe we should have citizen legislatures. Maybe we should have people who actually go into the community, go to churches, football games, you know, pancake breakfast, talk to police officers, first responders, fire people, and find out what the community really wants instead of having, you know, people who serve 10, 12 years, 12 years like my opponent in the Senate, you know, and really that's their only source of income.
Pastor, well, can I say that my Aunt Debbie, who discovered my grandmother's body, had been very active in prison ministry for decades. She goes to Believers Christian Fellowship in Warren and led me to Jesus Christ. And the legislators arrogantly made the case that people like us, people like my aunt, people like me, didn't understand the idea of teshuvah, to borrow a term that John Eklund used, which I guess is Hebrew for forgiveness or restoration. So not only did they pass this terrible law, but they lectured us about having a revenge mindset. And I don't have that mindset at all, in a supernatural, beautiful way. Since the first minute I found out about my grandmother's murder, I've been praying for her murderer. And this arrogant legislature, who probably didn't spend 3 minutes reading the bill, unless you're a committee chairman or the author of the bill, they're putting us in a box of, oh, don't you want to give people a second chance? It's the whole thing is, like you said, inside out, upside down.
Well, you're right. And here's the thing that you see, like, out there in California, it's been on the news, that fellow that shot and killed, I'm trying to think, it was a...
Sirhan.
Well, you know, here there was...
That's a long
time. Somebody... he went after, I know, there's two. One of them was arrested 16 times in one day. He's the one that went after that model, that little Oriental model who was there and mugged her and tried to molest her right on camera there. And he was out on bail within a few hours. He'd been arrested over 48 times. And they keep letting him out. And these are violent crimes. This guy for armed robbery, for beating, for robbery. Okay, but there was another one just recently who...
Pastor, what about the driver who ran through that Christmas parade in Wisconsin and killed... five people, including a grandmother of my granddaughter's best friend from Milwaukee.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't know that.
And he had several prior convictions and was out on bail. Now, people should get bail when they're not a risk to the community and they're not a risk of flight, you know. But this individual had several convictions. He had mental health issues. And he just decided to ram through a parade of other human beings.
So the idea here, they want lawlessness. These people, these prosecutors, like you said, there should have been defense attorneys. That they really want lawlessness. Just like, okay, tell me, why is it that Biden has been flying plane loads of young men of military service age, men who could be fighters, in the middle of the night, flying these and thousands of them into cities all over the country, and all of a sudden they're disappearing? Why is he doing this? I mean, everybody knows he's doing it. You've got all these congressmen complaining about it, okay? He's in total violation of the law, but is he above the law? What does it take to be above the law?
But I have to admit, I don't know what you're referring to.
Well, are these the alleged illegal immigrants that are being taken from the border? And I say alleged because I think they're probably in on some of this action. I know Ron DeSantis has said any plane loads that come to Florida are going to be bussed up to Delaware. Is that what you're talking about, the illegal aliens?
Yeah, there's a lot of them. I've seen hours of films of these guys coming in, and they're taking them in the middle. And then the other ones, too, are these children without any parents, okay? These young children that are brought in, and Lord knows what these young children are being used for, and then they are taken into these cities, and all of a sudden they disappear, okay? And you have to understand.
Well, that might be part of the child trafficking that's going on in the
It
country,
is.
Right?
It is a part of the child trafficking thing.
And sex trafficking. It's a combination of this.
And so, now, you know, here last night, didn't that just make you feel so good when Biden says, we're all one. We've got to get along. We're all united. We're all Americans. And then to have the Democrats say, USA, USA. Oh, I can't tell you what that did for me, right? Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, it makes me want to vote for him again.
Yeah. Remember, it wasn't very long ago that when we were saying USA, USA at a Trump rally, we were called Nazis. We were Nazis because we said USA, yeah. USA. And now all of a sudden, you talk about a Hollywood production. That's exactly what you saw last night. Let me ask you, go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm so glad COVID is over.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't see any masks there. And I guess, do we thank Putin or Biden for this? I don't know.
It was over just right on time, you know, and so anyhow, would you guys like to take some calls, Sarah?
Sure.
Okay, we're going to open the phone lines nationwide at 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673, and Lenny, stand by for some calls. If you have a question or a comment, and you know, especially about the judicial system of today, give us a call and let us know. And Sarah and these two folks, these two attorneys. Now, Brian, you're an attorney, aren't you, or are you not?
No, I'm a law school dropout.
Okay.
I did 3 weeks at Cleveland Marshall College of Law.
Brian is way too smart and creative to be a lawyer.
Oh, you're sweet. Thank you.
I had a joke. I wish I had that here. The old fellow had made a lawyer joke, and I lost it. I had it here. It was really funny, but you know what I'm talking about. Well, there you go. Get my
privilege. Well, I have to admit, I don't like most lawyers. So. I laugh at the lawyer joke.
Could I tell you a joke I heard Rush Limbaugh tell in 1992 in person?
Sure.
And it's a clean joke. All right. He said that God called the Washington Post and said, I'm going to end the world tomorrow. And the Washington Post said, can I get an exclusive? And God said, no. So he called all the other news outlets. And the next day, here were the headlines in the newspapers. The New York Times headline said, God says world to end, women and minorities hardest hit. And the headline in USA Today said, Americans prefer ketchup to mustard 2-1.
Oh,
so anyway, that was Rush Limbaugh.
Rush was...
Oh, my goodness. If there's no calls, I just wanted to tell you, Pastor, that my discretionary income is spent on travel, and I've had the opportunity to travel to Russia and to China in the last few years. I went from St. Petersburg to Moscow, and I've been to several parts in China. I've taken my mom, actually, who's now 86 years old, for trips once every year, and I took her to both of these. And I was astonished at how poor of a country Russia was and how wealthy of a country China is. And to see that we have let Putin, who is a mob boss, former KGB, be able to go into Ukraine and do what he's done, and we're still talking about throwing out vodka as retaliation is crazy.
All righty. Okay. Hang tight. Listen, now here's that joke, and then we're going to go out to Minnesota. Get ready to go to Minnesota. But here's John Adams said this. In my many years, I have come to the conclusion that one useless man is a shame. Two is a law firm, and three or more is Congress.
Ah, very good.
That's great.
Yep. Here you go. Here's Mark Twain. If you don't read the newspaper, then you are uninformed. If you do read the newspaper, then you are misinformed. Let's go out to Minnesota. John, you're in the air.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're okay.
Question, first of all, an observation. Ernie, you sound so strong in your voice. I just rejoice in that because I've been praying for you.
Thank you so much for that, my friend. Thank you.
Yeah, and that's great. Thank you, my friend. And I have a question for the candidates. How do you guys experience the prosecution influence of George Soros? Do you see that in the local areas, or how does he do this specifically?
Brian is not a candidate. He is supporting me. I'm the candidate for the 11th District Court of Appeals.
Right.
And obviously you have right now candidates, you know, in this primary that all over the country that are some of them who are supported by Soros. Prosecution specifically, you know, people who are running for prosecutors' offices who are supported by Soros. And I think that's where you're getting people who really are not there with a mission to charge people properly and follow through with trials and taking them to jurors and letting jurors decide what verdicts they should have and judges what sentences they should have. These are a lot more politically motivated, politically correct individuals. And I don't think that most voters would want to elect those kind of individuals, but these are the people who are backed with money, and money provides a platform, whether it's commercials or literature. I mean, that's what are the huge problem in this country, is that somebody like me who doesn't have years in the Senate and Larry Householder money and donations from the elite political class supporting you have to have the opportunity to go on radio stations like this, but they get, I mean, this is on both sides of the fence, right? They get backed with money and they can do what they want. From Soros, you've got the Democratic liberals.
So does he do this mainly through supporting people's campaigns? Is that where most of the money is spent?
Oh, yeah.
I believe so.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He literally buys their office for him.
Yeah.
Wow. But he owns them. He owns them, though, too.
He must be a buddy of Putin's, huh?
No, Putin would love to get his hands. Yeah, no, Putin would love to get his hands on Soros. In fact, no,
but I love the fact that Biden used the term oligarch so much. Like we don't have that in the U.S.
Right.
What is George Soros?
Yeah, and yep. Mark Zuckerberg, and who's that Bezos guy?
Yep. Yeah.
They're oligarchs.
That's Jeff Bezos.
You know, they're people with a lot of money who use their money for political purposes, right? To financially enhance themselves and their friends and their circles.
Yeah, we need reform at that. Thank you guys so much. I'll let someone else talk.
All right, thanks, John.
Yeah,
we have. Thanks for calling, Lenny. We have a clip to play now. Here, Sarah and Brian, I want you to listen to this. It's a 5-minute clip, but this is about here the Gateway pundits Jim Hoft and Steve Bannon is an explosive Wisconsin hearing on Wisconsin election. Remember I told you how the judicial system has lost so much credibility because they refused to hear the cases. The election fraud was in your face. And yet all of these people, the so-called echo chamber, it was, you know, and all of those in the media, including Fox News in the media, they all refused to acknowledge the election fraud. They were all bought and paid for. And so here, I want you to listen to this and then comment on it, okay? Go ahead, Lenny, and play that clip.
Think of a better guy to have on a show on the 10th anniversary of the death of the great and mighty warrior, Andrew Breitbart. I know today you guys did a great tribute with the fabulous filmmakers that made the film Hating Breitbart. You did a great thing on Gateway Pundit Day. I got a chance to watch it after the show, and it was fantastic. I can't tell you enough how that film, the film team was just incredible. So it was great.
Thank you.
I got to tell you, Andrew Breitbart would have been, he was courage, was everything with this guy, and he would have been in the middle of this fight, leading this fight like nobody's business. And a guy like that, somebody asked me, a guy like that comes around once a generation, maybe, and sometimes it skips a couple of generations. But he'd be so proud of what you've turned Gateway Pundit into, which is a powerhouse. I want to go to Gable. Judge Gableman had this massive interim report. Boris has been getting us up to date on it, on both shows. But you had Gateway had a pretty specific role in this about this group called ERIC, and you were mocked and ridiculed. But Judge right. Gableman gave you guys a specific shout out today. Walk us through it.
Yes, thanks so much, Steve. And a shout out to our friend Andrew Breitbart, who we love dearly, and I know how close you were to him, especially with your work at Breitbart. So we miss him dearly today. We did put up a nice tribute to him, and I had the honor of talking to Andrew Marcus earlier. As far as Judge Gableman, Justice Gableman, explosive testimony today, as Boris has been reporting. Boris is right on. One piece that we were thrilled that he mentioned, and that is we're finally getting people to start talking about this ERIC organization. It's called the Electronic Registration Information Center. Justice Gableman reported on this several times in his speech. We put out an expose on ERIC back in January. Four different posts, reports we've had on this ERIC organization. It was meant to be a voter cleanup organization. And what it is actually just a membership organization for the blue states, the left-wing organization registration. And what they do is just register people. So they were supposed to be a cleanup organization, and now they're in 31 states. And what they actually do is they're out there as a registration. They're a voter. They're a drive for voter registration. It's outrageous. We exposed it. Louisiana already has dropped this ERIC organization. They're going to a different system. But the sad thing is it's working in all of these states. Today when Gableman started talking about ERIC, the founder, this David Becker, started tweeting like crazy. And because we reported on this in January, this was one of those direct hits, Steve. We were right over the target. And we know that because NPR and all these other places immediately attacked us. And so now Gableman reports on it. David Becker is going ballistic on Twitter. But this is a guy who founded this organization, was kicked out of the Department of Justice. He went to this Q group, one of the subgroups of Q, started ERIC, was funded by some Soros dollars. The media, of course, spins this now. But today it's in 31 states. A lot of conservative states uses this group. And what we found is that they're not cleaning up the voter roll. This isn't happening. And of course, Steve, that's one of the main things with the left. They don't want these voter rolls cleaned up. We saw what they did with True the Vote and Catherine Engelbrecht. They don't want the votes cleaned up.
Jim, we got a punch, but I got to ask you a question before I let you go, because you're the publisher and with your twin brother, the editor-in-chief, I guess, of the Gateway Pundit, one of the most powerful sites. Is this a big deal, or are people going to say this is another wild goose chase? Because this audience is focused on taking down the Democratic Party on November 8th. We got to get everything cleaned up, and we still got to get answers and hold people accountable for November 3rd. And the way to do that is decertify electors, which would be historic. Is this as big a deal as Boris and I think it is?
Absolutely. It's huge. And we can see that by the reaction on the left today. Look at David Becker's Twitter page. It's they're panicking, as they should be. They were exposed today. And this is just a start. And thank you, Steve, for all the good work. You've been leading this effort from the beginning. Boris has been outstanding. But this is a great day for you, Steve Bannon. And thank you for being the leader today that Andrew Breitbart was years ago. I really appreciate that.
Well, those are kind words, but nobody will ever, as you know, you were the first guy. You were the very first guy to partner with him. Jim Hoft, you're a hero. Gateway Pundit's the best. We love you guys. We love your brother. The work you guys are doing is just fabulous. It's the first thing I check in the morning. So thank you very much.
All right. Those guys talked all around it, but what they failed to say was that judge there, that Supreme Court Justice, Michael Gableman, he called for decertification of the Wisconsin 2020 election results. And so that's big news, to call for that election to be decertified because of the election fraud. Now, they found hundreds of thousands of illegal votes there in Wisconsin and Georgia, Pennsylvania, Detroit, I mean, all over. And that's the big news. And those guys talked all about everything. But, oh, and especially there was the big news also coming out of Arizona. Now, here's what, this is one of the reasons that politics has lost the credibility, especially of the fake news media, the lamestream media. Look, I was in a Trump train. Out in Arizona, they had a Trump train that was 93 miles long. 93-mile-long Trump train. They had out there, was in Los Angeles out there, with boats. They had boats out there, and I don't know how many thousands of boats out there. I was in, Sarah, a Trump train here in Ohio, where we went through Geauga, Portage, and the Trumbull. But here, even the Amish, and they never get involved in politics, the Amish, all the way down 528, Amish buggy after Amish buggy after Amish buggy lined up holding Trump signs up.
And I wish I was there for that. I would have loved that
too. And so now listen. So Trump's having rallies, see, this is something we call common sense. I think it's illegal nowadays, common sense, but here you have Trump going out, 50, 60, 70,000 people showing up. You got Joe Biden going out, and you have a half a dozen or a dozen people showing up, okay? And so here now, to tell me, when you see this, common sense, we see this, and then on the election night, we're watching the numbers, and we see Trump way ahead, and then right before our very eyes, we watch the numbers invert. We watch them flip upside down, and then they tell us, who are you going to believe, us, the fake news media, or your lying eyes? And there you go. Right at that point, you know, see, I went after. You would expect NBC, PMSNBC, Mad Cow, or these others.
Rachel.
Because, yeah.
You know, the biggest piece of evidence for me was all five of those swing states stopped counting at the same time.
Yeah.
And then didn't report back until 8 hours or so later, and they all just happened to magically go the way of Joseph Robinette Bidet.
But you notice something different, too, this time in the echo chamber. You know, you see, these people are actually contracted liars. Now, and I'm talking about NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox News now, too. In other words, they don't call it lying. They call it a narrative. Contracted to stay to the narrative, and you agree to that, and whatever that narrative is. Well, we know that it's always a lie, you know. And so I don't expect Rachel Maddow or any of these others to tell the truth. But on Fox News, they call themselves fair and balanced. And Brett Baer, who looks you in and calls fair and balanced. Now, here's something that was different this time. You might have noticed this. When they did the echo chamber, instead of just saying, where's the evidence, as they all did, Neil Cabuto, Chris Wallace, but before they did that, they all did this. They went, like that. Susan Smith, they go, where's the evidence? They all did that. They all did the, that little ad.
Pastor, you just mentioned Susan Smith. I knew Fox was in trouble when Ron DeSantis won the primary. He did an interview with her, and he said, we don't need a socialist to monkey this up. Susan Smith comes back from the break apologizing for Ron DeSantis' racist comment. I could not believe my eyes.
Oh, not only that, but when she remembers, she said, we don't mention George Soros on this program. We don't mention George
Soros.
Remember that? Yeah. Bought and paid for, huh? And so,
yeah, you know, with election fraud, I'm a cynic. I think that we're going to continue having election fraud until these paid political operatives who go in and harvest ballots in busloads, if not truckloads, are stopped.
Well, you'll have it until, listen to this. Just think about this. This is just a novel idea. What if prosecutors prosecuted election fraud? Listen to this. What if the courts were to hear the cases?
Exactly. Do you know that it started with, oh, there's no election fraud. This is the liberal voice. Now it's rare. Now it's significant, but it wouldn't have changed the election. Well, if the actual prosecutors actually prosecuted for election fraud, these numbers would be much, much higher. They would be staggering, but very few do because the excuse is, oh, we have murders, we have rapists, we have violent crimes. You know, how are we going to prove this? Well, unfortunately, when it's taken such a, I mean, it's got to be the public that demands these prosecutions.
Well,
right?
I think you're going to see some of that come this November. But again, like I said, look, the Democratic Communist Collective know that there's no way in the world they can win a fair and honest election. They know they can't win a fair and honest election. So they're going to push like Joe Obama was doing last night, to legalize election fraud. Basically, that's what he wants to do. They want to legalize election fraud, to have people vote early and often as many times as you want. I mean, that's the reality of what they want. But we have to enforce that and have the courage, the honest, whatever honest judges in that we have to find the courage and not be afraid of burn, loot, and murder on the doorstep, or Antifa coming and intimidating and making a mean face at them. They've got to do their job.
Well, there's a pastor out of Lake County, Pastor Jim, who said, we are so far at the bottom, this is probably the best thing for us because now people are called to action. You know, people are not being quiet anymore. Whether they're home and, you know, and disabled or they're active and out in the field, that people are fed up.
And you're absolutely
right. I think he's got a point. We've reached rock bottom.
I think you're right. And this is anecdotal, but I had neighbors across the street in November of 2020, and it was, let's just say the little girl had two mommies, okay? These aren't exactly conservative Republicans. And I saw one of them, and I said, "Where did you get that sunburn?" And she said, "Oh, we were in a Trump boat flotilla." I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" She's like, "No, it's the third one we've done." That Donald Trump had not only was the most outspoken pro-life candidate I can remember from the Republican Party, but in addition to that, he was able to bring in people who were very non-traditional, and I'd never seen the kind of grassroots support in my entire life. So I think it's obvious to anyone with a few functioning brain cells that this guy won the election. And
proving that. Democrats, Union Democrats.
Yeah.
Labor.
Oh, big time, big time.
Yeah. Yeah. We witnessed election fraud. But here's the thing. On the, I believe it was November 8th of 2016, when Trump won that election, that very night, listen, that very night that Trump won that election against the Queen of Mean, Miss Hillary, you know. But anyhow, I told you, I said, the next election, you're going to see unprecedented election fraud. You're going to see election fraud like you've never seen anything like it, okay? And Mark Zuckerberg was saying that he could sway at least 15 million votes, that he could buy at least 15 million votes. He could flip that many. He was saying that. And so, in fact, you know, what we were just talking to there in that organization that you mentioned on that clip, Zuckerberg gave $69.2 million to that organization. And so,
oh, to Eric?
Yeah. No, actually,
yeah, because didn't he spend a total of $300 million in just Wisconsin?
I think it was $315
million. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And so, I mean, they buy in these elections. And, you know, and again, look, in Georgia, you know, those drop boxes, they were showing people coming in, and the average person that went to the drop box had 2,800 ballots that they would come and drop. And they were paid. I mean, it was unbelievable, the out in your face election fraud. People, again, and the American people, enough is enough. It's like, you know, our intelligence has been insulted and our integrity has been insulted, and we've had enough of this. I mean, just totally enough.
And
so,
we
really need to have our state legislators, and, you know, even there in Pennsylvania, you had some good, honest state legislators there that are trying to get a recount and an audit. But then you had rhinos that faked it. They took control. They didn't want a genuine audit. And that, and I can tell you that that Pennsylvania Supreme Court is as corrupt as corrupt can get. I wouldn't have nothing to do with them at all.
Yeah.
And so,
well, I like what Ken Blackwell has said many times. When you have 88 counties and 88 separate systems, and I know we're not all paper ballots, in certainly not Florida, and I know Ohio does not have all paper ballots, but when you have a decentralized system with local accountability, then, you know, it's going to be less likely to have this sort of fraud, because these Democrats, they want to centralize everything. And these computer pings that were investigated from these, am I allowed to say the word, Dominion machines,
yeah,
you know, going all over the world, and they're not supposed to even be connected. it's frightening. It just makes me pray for the hasty return of the Lord, to be very, very blunt, because these are dangerous times, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, we need to pray for that anyhow, but I can tell you this. I want you to think about this. America is standing in the shadow of an angry God. God is very angry with America, very, very angry with America. America, our sewers run red with the blood of innocent children. You know, when they tell you it's 65 million, it's twice that, Brian. I know, because I've talked to these abortionists over the years, many of them that have come out of the killing industry, and they'll tell you confidentially that they only it's a common practice within the child killing industry to only count for one out of every two babies you kill, and so it's more than 120 million, and the sewers have run red, and the blood of those innocents have cried out. And people think, well, you know, myself, I would never have an abortion, but I'm not going to interfere with someone that does. But God's word, the Bible, says you're blood guilty too. Read Proverbs 24, verse 10, 11, and 12. God says you're blood guilty, and you're going to lose that argument. And so,
one of the most powerful movies I've ever seen is the one from made regarding Chinese girls being killed. And they would have scattered skeletal remains of fetuses all around areas where people could actually see them, because they were just buried one on top of another. It was horrific. And if people could just actually see some of this footage, I think...
You wonder anymore. People have become so cold. You know, I sat here a couple of years ago in North Carolina. We were having dinner, and there was 22 mountain yard. Now, mountain yards are the really actual indigenous people of Vietnam. They're the original natives of Vietnam. Mountain yard, those were the men that fought with us during that Vietnamese war against the North Vietnamese communists. And when we pulled out and left many of them there. But I sat there with these pastors that had gotten out of North Vietnam, and I could tell you some stories. It was just unbelievable. But the one pastor got a phone call, and he had one of the smart aleck phones, you know, where you see who you're talking to. His daughter was sold to Saudi Arabia because she couldn't pay her debt, by the North Vietnamese, sold to Saudi Arabia. And she called. They allowed her to call her father, and he could see her. And she told him, "This is the last time you'll see me, because today they're going to harvest my organs."
Oh.
Right there. Yeah, right there. And that was just unbelievable. But that's what they did there. And so, well, we did have time to get some others out. And the one lady that we got out of there cost, I think, $500 to get her out. No, $1,500. They raised, I believe, it was $5,000 to buy her back. But she said that she had witnessed two young teenage girls, Vietnamese girls, being frozen to death, quick frozen alive to death over there to be preserved for their organs. So these things are happening in the world. And you know what all of that is? All of that, Sarah and Brian, is signs of the Lord's soon return. It's a sign that the Lord is showing us how wicked the depravity has become, so great that his return is much closer. So now is the time we fight like Christian soldiers with our eyes upon the cross. So, anyhow, Sarah, tell the folks how they can get involved and help you get elected.
Well, please call me. My name is Sarah Thomas Cavour. My cell phone is 330-540-5500. I want to give you all my personal cell phone. Call me. I will tell you how you can volunteer. your time. You can donate. You can go on my website, electcoburforjudge.com. But I really just, more than anything, need you to spread the word. You want, I mean, it's clear now more than ever that you need strict constitutional judges on your bench. And when somebody says who they are, believe them. My opponent, who is a divine appointee, never ran for this court, is a liberal. He's been categorized as a liberal, voted against the heartbeat bill, voted against Stand Your Ground, has been, as Brian Kirk will tell you, has ruined many lives of victims of murderers because they have to now go to hearings every 5 years and champion these kind of causes. I urge you to get involved in all of your local elections, not just the judicial elections, because we're going to be losing our country if you don't, if we don't have Christian conservative voters coming out.
Amen. It's, you know, it's God's word, the Bible calls it a sin of omission to refuse to get out there. We're to be salt and light. So, all right, now we have Pastor Hal, and he wants to give an invitation for you folks out here, because the time will come when there will be no more politics, but the day will come, each and every one of us, when we'll stand before the Almighty on judgment. Pastor Hal, are you there?
Right. Yeah, the Bible says, what profits a man if he gain the whole world but lose his soul? And the Democrat Communist Party, the one-worlders and everybody like that, they're killing people, they're killing their own people, they're torturing people, all to get more control, more power. And what good's it going to do them? Because they're first, second in hell, they're going to wish they could give it all up and have another chance to do right. And the Bible says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And if everybody that's listening to my voice right now, I believe you'd rather go to heaven than go to hell. But most of you have been lied to all your life. You've been told that your good works, your church membership, or something like that is going to get you to heaven. But the Bible says, you know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, John 14:6. It's when you go to Jesus Christ and admit to him that without him in your heart, you're just a dirty, rotten, lousy, stinking sinner on your road to hell. That's what repentance is, admitting something to God he knows already. One sin would keep you out of heaven, and we sin every day of our lives in thought, word, or deed. But the Bible says the blood of Christ, you know, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, Ephesians 1:7. So when Jesus died on that cross, God was allowing him to pay the payment in full for every sin you and I have ever done. And that payment was done in full, and it was complete. But that payment don't become yours automatically. John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. If you want to go to heaven, you have to really go to God and admit the fact that you're a sinner and you need his forgiveness. And then you got to pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And God hears me talking to you right now. God knows what's going through your mind and through your heart right now. Listen, folks, your church membership ain't going to save you. The Pope can't save you. The Catholic Church can't save you. Your Uncle Harry and Aunt Sue can't save you. Only Jesus can save you. And that happened. And right now, the Bible says he's knocking at the door of your heart, Revelation 3:20. If you open up that door and invite him to come in, he'll come in and give you the payment he paid for you on that cross, because salvation is a free gift, Ephesians 2:8-9. You can't do anything to earn it or deserve it. Now, he's knocking at the door of your heart, and he's offering to give you the payment he paid in your place on that cross so you could have eternal life. If you want to receive it right now, pray this prayer with me. I'll lead you a few words at a time, but even though we're praying together, it'd be directly between you and God, because only you can ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you. So what do you say we pray? Oh, dear God, please forgive me, a sinner. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on that cross and shed your blood to save my soul. And I here and now ask you to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, and save me, Lord Jesus. Save my soul and give me eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. not that you may think it or wish it or hope for it, but that you may know, because God made you a promise. And if you were sincere just now when you asked Jesus to come into your heart, then he's in your heart right now, and nobody can ever take that away from you. You're saved, and you're saved permanently. And now God wants you to grow in Christ. Get yourself a King James Bible, read it, pray to God every day, walk with him, ask him to cleanse you of any sins daily that come between you and him. That's walking in good fellowship with him, and tell others how to be saved. Jesus is keeping you here right now instead of taking you straight to heaven, because he wants to use you to tell other people how to get saved. Go ahead, Pastor.
All right, thanks. And so, Sarah, you've got 30 seconds to say goodnight. Brian, you got 30 seconds to say goodnight.
Thank you so much, Pastor Sanders. I appreciate you giving me this platform. My name is Sarah Thomas Kovor. That's K-O-V-O-O-R. I'm running for an appellate judge, 11th District Court of Appeals in Ohio. I want your vote this May 3rd, or if you're do early voting in April, please spread the word. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks, Sarah. And Brian, go ahead. You got 30 seconds.
Yes, Pastor Sanders, great to speak with you again. I feel like I'm 22 once more. I want to say thank you for your ministry and everything you've done. And it's, the unborn have always been so central on my heart, the innocent unborn. And the fact that we have innocent elderly people in our state that are being murdered, and legislators who are turning the other cheek on behalf of people who didn't ask for it.
We got to stop it, don't we? But we are out of time. We got to have you guys back soon. Again, you'll have to come back, both
sounds
of you,
good.
Soon.
We would love that. Thank you.
Good night. All right.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.